Chapter 9. Now, I said concerning conscience that there are two areas in which conscience is affected. That is affected, not effected. Conscience is there whether you're saved or not. There are two ways in which conscience is affected by salvation. The first one is found in Hebrews 9, mainly 6 through verses 6 through 14. That is, conscience is purged from dead works by Christ's blood. All right, I've already spoke about that. I'm going on to the second one. The second thing that conscience is affected in by salvation, it is to have no more conscience of sins. Now, for some time, I heard a message by Tim James, and when he preached that message, God, I'm persuaded, was pleased to open my eyes somewhat to the truth concerning the conscience. But I realize now that I still did not really understand some things as clearly as what I should. The second thing, again, let me say this, to have no more conscience of sins. What I misunderstood back then was I had this idea of to have no more guilt of sins. That's not what it says.
That's right.
That has a part that is to have no more guilt of sins, but it's not to have no more guilt of sins. It is to have no more conscience of sins. Now, under this heading, under this truth, under this second thing wherein conscience is affected by salvation, is first of all, the law sacrifices had limitations. And let's just read one verse, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 9, which was a figure, that is all of these sacrifices. Not only the sacrifices, but the furniture of the tabernacle.
Sir.
Not only the sacrifices and the furniture, but the very fire that they used to consume the sacrifices, the very incense that they used, the cloth that they used, all of these things were figures for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. How? As pertaining to conscience. So it had a limitation. It could not perfect the conscience. But the question then is, what is a perfected conscience?
Yes.
Now, as I said, I was under the illusion, and that was something in my own mind, that this meant to have no more guilt.
Yeah.
But the fact is, we are still, though saved by grace, we are still sinners.
Yes, sir.
And we are still sinful.
Yes, sir.
And especially if you are a person who has been regenerated by the Spirit of God and converted by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are still going to feel guilt.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You're even going to feel guilt for sins that are in the past, because when you think about those sins that are in the past, the shame will all again rush in.
You're right.
And the reason is because we know what sin actually is. Exactly. Sin is a crime against God. It is an injustice against God. It is an insult to God.
Yes.
So first of all, the law sacrifices had limitations. They could not make those that did the, service perfect. We're not here in this message here. I'm not even talking about disservice.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about unrighteous acts.
No.
We're talking about even doing service to God according to God's ordained way. In that law service could not make the comers thereunto perfect as pertaining to conscience.
Exactly.
This limitation caused a catch 22.
Yeah.
I already mentioned that. Now turn over to Hebrews 10. For the law, let me just read it first, then I'll go back through it. This is where I kind of left off week before last. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. And remember, let me read it like I said. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins.
Amen.
The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was not just a different way. It was the only way.
Amen.
It is a better way,
amen,
but not in the sense that it holds simply a step above the law sacrifices. It's better because it alone can do the work.
Amen.
That's why. Now think about this. Every, and note these words, every obedient offering. We're not here talking about disobedience. We're not here talking about murder and incest and theft. We're talking about obedience.
Yeah.
Note that under the law, even obedience could not make the comers thereunto, who also said to be worshipers.
Yeah.
Comers, right?
Yeah.
Could not make them perfect. Every obedient offering red flagged disobedience. The more they obeyed, the more they were declaring what? We're disobedient. We're disobedient. It was this revolving cycle where the conscience was constantly reminded that sin still existed and was unpaid for.
Exactly.
Now, let me give you something. Christ, our Lord, did not atone for our sins. Did you know that? Christ, our Lord, did not atone for our sins. These blood sacrifices atoned. They covered.
Yeah.
The New Testament truth of our Lord Jesus Christ is not that Jesus Christ atoned for our sins. He did not atone for our sins. He propitiated our sins.
Amen.
And expiated our sins. That is, He satisfied God Almighty's divine justice and took sin away.
Amen.
There is a difference between the two. I remember years ago, probably 27, 28 years ago, Joe and I were in a home, and I still had the vestiges of religion. I don't say this out of pride. There's still that sense of shame. I was still going to homes uninvited, trying to tell people about the Lord. Of course, I finally felt as I had now a message to tell people about the Lord, but nonetheless, that's not the way God Almighty has commanded us to do things in the Scripture.
Right.
That is, just to show up at homes indiscriminately, uninvited and unasked, and just tell people about the Lord. But the point is this. I mentioned to this one lady that Jesus Christ atoned for our sins, and she was like, looked at me just like this blank stare. And Joe said, Walter, she doesn't understand what you're talking about. Now, two things. One, Walter didn't understand what he was talking about. Because Christ didn't atone for our sins. He redeemed us from our sins.
Amen.
He put them away. He took them away. They are now, in a literal, real sense, cast by God into the sea of forgetfulness. Behind His back, they are gone. Completely gone.
Amen.
Plumb gone. Legally. Justice has been satisfied.
Amen.
But at the same time, it's true, the woman had no idea what I was trying even to say. But again, the point is this. Jesus Christ did not atone for our sin. Now someone comes along and says, oh, but the New Testament said we received the atonement. No, it don't. The King James Version says we've received the atonement. But the King James Version is wrong because it's not the atonement we receive. It's the reconciliation that we receive. Because that's the word. The word is not a Greek equivalent to the Hebrew atonement. It's a totally different word. It is, we have now received the reconciliation.
Yes, sir.
If all you know about is a covering, you still have your sins.
Yeah.
But if your sins are put away, then they're what? Gone.
Amen.
They're gone. So again, every obedient offering red flagged disobedience. It was this revolving cycle that when they obeyed God, they were still being reminded of their disobedience to God. And thus the writer says, for the law having a shadow. Now, I mentioned this last Sunday, got a little worked up over it. That's all right. The law is not a shadow. The law is holy, just, and good.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. The law is a glorious condemnation of death.
Amen.
The law is the revealer in detail of what sin is, what things are sin,
yes, sir.
And what sin is. But here the writer says, for the law having a shadow. And I use these illustrations. Let me give you one more. We do not fulfill the law of keeping the Sabbath day by resting in Christ, because you and I never, ever personally fulfill the law. By the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. If you could keep one of the commandments, God would have to say, that's a good act. And Scripture says there is none good, no, not one. That includes me right now today.
Amen.
Walter Pendleton, as he is in and of himself, I am not good.
Exactly.
There is none righteous. That still includes me today. We don't keep the law by doing something in Christ. When the law says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, it means from 6 o'clock Friday evening till 6 o'clock Saturday evening, you are supposed to walk in accord with the commandment of that rule, or the rules of that commandment. That's what it means. Our Lord said the law is summed up in two things: love God with everything you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. The point is, I can't do that.
Amen.
I can't even do that as a regenerated person.
Exactly.
And even then, see, remember, the law has what? By Christ's blood, purged our conscience from what? Dead works. Those things are dead now. They're over with. They've served their purpose. They're done. And my message is not about shadows. I mean, it was amazing. Now, I enjoy a good type.
Yes, sir.
A good figure. They're there. They're beneficial. But our message is not shadows and types and figures. Our message is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
The sad thing I see people starting from the shadows and figures and trying to preach Christ, when what we ought to be doing is preaching Christ and then point out how shadows and figures manifest the truth of Him.
Amen.
When you have the real thing, use the real thing.
Right.
You don't need to use the shadows and types. It's amazing, this very book that calls them figures, shadows, right, has very little to say about the figures and the shadows. Most all of its language is about Him who is the antitype of the figures and the shadows.
Amen.
Why? Because the law having a shadow of what? Good things to come.
Amen.
They have.
Amen.
Now the law having, that says past tense.
Yep.
Good things to come have already come. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Perfect in what way?
Yeah.
Perfect as pertaining to conscience. Now think about this. This cycle, it continued. Every time they offered an obedient offering to God, all they did was remind themselves of how sinful they were. But when we look to Jesus Christ, if we truly have been regenerated and converted, it reminds us of how sins have been what? Put away. They're gone. Think about this. The last point. Christ's sacrifice enabled a clear conscience. A clear conscience. Now, not a conscience void of all guilt. I said this time before, week before last. God did not say we would forget our sins.
No.
He says He has forgotten our sins.
Amen.
This very book says their sins and iniquities, that is God speaking, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more.
Amen.
Not their sins and iniquities they will remember no more. And the whole point is, if God has forgotten them, then do I believe him?
Amen.
Right? Do I believe him? Christ's sacrifice enabled a clear conscience. But it's a conscience cleared of all guilt. It's cleared of all guilt. Not that guilt doesn't exist, but it's cleared. Divine satisfaction has been wrought. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Now you know, most everyone here probably already knows this passage. And let me find, we're just a... Isaiah 53 verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What's that mean, pleased here? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same type of word used over here in chapter 10 of Hebrews, where it says in verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure.
Yeah.
When it talks about, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What's that mean? It satisfied God. That's what God required. Death under judgment. Blood being shed for sin.
Yes, sir.
Look, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul. How many times did that happen?
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah, that's right.
He shall see. He's talking about when he hung on that tree.
Yes, sir.
He's talking about his blood sacrifice. He's talking about his substitutionary satisfaction. Look.
Amen.
He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be what? Satisfied.
Yeah.
Now the question is not, am I satisfied? The question is, do I believe God when he said he is satisfied?
Amen.
That will clear the conscience.
Yes, sir.
That's the only thing that will clear the conscience.
Yes, sir.
It is not, can I somehow avoid guilt? It is not, can I somehow avoid the remembrance of sin? It's impossible for us to do that. But in believing the record God gave of his son, that clears the conscience. Not of guilt. It clears the conscience. Now think about this. Romans chapter 3. Just turn to that. This is a passage in which a phrase is used. And the phrase is found, let's see, let me find it. Verse 26 of Romans 3. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he, that is, the he's there is God, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
Amen.
But let me say this morning, try to say it as clearly as I can. Even that faith which is the gift of God does not have a justifying quality.
Yeah.
Now, do you understand what I'm saying?
You're right.
There are those who teach, even in Calvinistic circles now, but mainly in the free will circles, but even in Calvinistic circles, there are those who teach that I am justified in God's sight by faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's not so.
Because
faith has no justifying quality to it.
Exactly.
Faith receives justification.
Yes.
And that person who believes experiences justification by what? Believing God.
Amen.
Because let's look at the context. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
Amen.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And that is the law's purpose.
Yes, sir.
That's still the law's purpose.
Yes, sir.
The law was never there for justification. It was there to show us our total lack of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
And our absolute need of justification outside of ourselves.
Amen.
Look, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus Christ, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Righteousness is found in Christ, not in me. My righteous standing before God is not my faith before God. It is Jesus Christ before God.
Amen.
Because this says, even the righteousness of God by faith of. And in the Greek, it is possessive. It's not simply talking about source. It's even talking about possession. It's Christ's faith that is the key. But more than that, by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Now, yes, there is that qualifier. It's only to believers, right? For there is no difference. Why? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, having been, and that's the actual meaning there, but being justified freely by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. Now remember, take the context, for all have sinned. So at what time can I ever say I have not sinned?
Exactly.
I can never say that. John warns us not to be saying that.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, John's not just warning not to say that. He's saying people who say I've never sinned make God a liar.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
No, even those who have sinned, because all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
My justification is based upon Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the foundation of my justification.
Yes, sir.
Whom God has set forth a propitiation through faith in his blood. And that again is not my faith in his blood. That's God's faith in his blood. That's the context. Yet even some Calvinistic preachers preach that as by faith. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the propitiation whether I have faith in Jesus Christ or not.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. He has satisfied God, not can, if I believe. It's not. That's where Arminian finds its doctrine from. Jesus died for everybody, then if you have faith in him, then he'll be your propitiation. No, he is the propitiation. Do you believe that?
Amen.
That's the difference between the perverted gospel and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't believe to get God to do something. We believe God has done something.
Amen.
He's finished the work. It's done. Whom God has set forth a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. That is God's right to do this.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because it's done.
Amen.
Redemption's accomplished. Through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Why? Because even those of us who believe in Jesus have still sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Because even those of us who are believers still sin and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, it is not my faith that justifies me before God, but faith helps me to know justification in here.
Yeah.
Faith is for my benefit, not for God's benefit.
Exactly.
Faith is not what I offer to God. Say, okay, God, I believe you. Now you justify me. No, sir. That doesn't work. You won't be justified if that's what you're trying to get it through.
Amen.
Exactly.
Because true faith doesn't seek it that way.
Yeah.
Faith doesn't believe you do something. You even believe to be justified. Faith believes I am justified. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then?
Yeah.
It's excluded By what law? That is, by what authority? By the law, by authority of works? No, but by the authority of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. But notice it doesn't say justified before God. Because justified before God was even though we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we have been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And then this is what Paul goes on to say. Look at Romans chapter 5. And just look at what it says. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, and right there it is.
Yeah.
How? By faith? No. Being now, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him.
Amen.
Now, someone says, well, he's just talking to believers. That's true. But he's not just talking about believers when you believe.
Yeah.
Because look, for if when we were what? Enemies. Before we was even believers.
That's right.
Because a believer is not. No, a believer is then manifestly declared not to be an enemy, but a what?
Yeah.
A friend of God.
Amen.
A friend and an enemy are two totally opposite
exactly.
things.
Yeah.
But this says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by what?
Yeah.
By the death of His Son, much more being reconciled. And there the actual Greek is having been. It's a done deal.
Yes, sir.
God is not in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. 2 Corinthians 5 says God was in Christ reconciling the world. See the difference?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
God is not still reconciling people. God has already reconciled some people.
Amen.
That's the gospel. Anything less than that is a perversion of the gospel. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Paul is clearly saying here that everyone Jesus Christ shed His blood for, everyone He died for, will be saved.
Amen.
That's what that says. Right there in black and white.
Yep.
Much more than being reconciled. If that's already done, don't you think God's going to save you? Huh? It's the same thing he then again said. He just says it over and over again, but just in different language. Romans chapter 8, he then says these words. Let me find it here. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? But you got to have faith. God will give it to you.
Amen.
But you need to repent. God will give that to you.
Amen. That's it.
But you need to persevere to the end. God will give that to you.
Amen.
Because if Christ died for you, He's going to give you everything else that comes along with that.
Yes, sir.
Everything else that comes along, it comes along with that. It doesn't make what Christ did valuable.
Exactly.
And this is the difference between their gospel and God's gospel. You notice
yes,
I didn't
sir.
Say my gospel because it ain't mine.
Exactly.
It's His.
Amen.
It's His. And also, now turn back to Hebrews and let's just read that because I've got to wind this up for time's sake. For the law then, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, once purged, should have what? No more guilt of sins? No. But no more conscience of sin. When I am enabled by the Spirit of God to believe God, I have no more conscience of sins. You know why? I know Christ is satisfied God.
Amen.
He's expiated my sins. He's taken them away. They're gone. Joe, in God's sight, they don't exist.
Amen.
I heard Tim James say this on a message. I just heard it the other day. That's a message he preached a while back. And he kind of put it this way. And I thought about it. When I first heard it, I thought that it's a little easy, it's a little flippant. But then I thought about it. I thought, no, it ain't. Because if someone asked God, well, where's their sins at? God would just say, I don't know.
What sins?
Yeah, what sins? I don't accuse them.
Exactly.
I'm not condemning them. Yea, he's justifying
Amen.
Them. Because Romans 8 says, it is God that justifieth.
Amen.
And somebody says, that's not fair. It's not about fairness. It's about justice. Christ suffered for my sins.
Amen.
They've been punished. It's done. It's done. Now let's go on. And then look, wherefore, verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, talk about Christ, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And that's where you should stop. It's not once for all, as though it's once for everybody without exception. First of all, for all don't exist there.
Exactly.
But even if you want to try to read into it, what the translators put there, it's once for all time. That's what he's talking about. Not once for all people. It's not even once for all the elect. Well, that's not the point here. The point is, it's a one-time sacrifice, period.
Amen.
That's the whole point of these other sacrifices were what? Constant, 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 constant. Every day. Every blessed day something was dying and its blood was being shed. But Joe, all that did was remind those people of their sins. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. So when was I sanctified? If I am sanctified, when was I sanctified? Not when I was even regenerated. Not when I was even converted. I was sanctified when Christ died on that tree. Now look. And every priest standeth, that's what I said, daily, ministering and offering oftentimes, just over and over and over, the same sacrifices. But what was the problem? They couldn't take away sins. You see it? But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, Amen. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool for. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that he died for. That's what it is, them that he sanctified.
Exactly.
Because he sanctified us when he died. When he, what? Yeah. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. So when did he perfect me?
Yeah.
Then.
Amen.
When he sanctified me.
Amen.
Now the question is, do I believe that?
Exactly.
It's actually that simple,
yeah.
Although it is not that easy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm talking about for regenerated, converted folk.
Yes,
it's impossible for the unregenerate.
Yeah, that's it.
Now you hear what I say? I wasn't trying to talk about them out there, the blind. No, it's hard to bow down and say, it's done, it's done. The great transaction is done. Because as I've said before, when I sin, I always find myself wanting to do something else to make up for it. And there's nothing I can do to make up for it. When I don't read the Bible enough, I think, well, the answer is to read it more. Now, if you don't read the Bible enough, the way to quit reading it not enough is to read it more. But that will, reading it more will not atone, let alone purge, sanctify, make perfect the fact that you didn't read it enough.
Exactly.
It just don't work. You see, we do not do anything to satisfy God concerning our sin. If you don't read the Bible enough, then just read it some more. That's all I can tell you. Well, I don't pray enough. Well, pray some more.
There you go.
Problem is, the more you read, the more you find out you lack.
Yeah, that's it.
The more you pray, the more you find out that you don't know how to pray as you ought.
Exactly.
The more you know, the more you find out. Mason, we talked about this. The more you find out you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
The more you learn, the more you find out there is still to be learned. You see, the answer for sin is taken care of. The sin question is settled.
Yes, sir.
It's done. And sin is gone. And then look, let's go on. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, he's already said this is going to happen. That's what he's talking about. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. After what days? The days of Christ offering his body.
Yeah.
This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and write them in their and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will what? I remember no more. That's the only way you're ever going to find a perfected conscience, is to believe God when he says that.
Amen.
You're going to remember him. He says he don't. Trust him.
Yes, sir.
You're going to feel guilty for him. You need to.
Yeah.
Not only ought you, but you need to. It's a part of the process. But you know what? God doesn't see you as guilty.
Amen.
God declares you as righteous in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now look, let's go on. Now where remission of these is? No more offering for sin. There's nothing else you can do to make it better, because it's already done.
Amen.
How can you make better what's already better? Yeah. How can you make something better that's already the best?
Exactly.
How can you take away what don't exist?
Yeah.
So I got no reason to try to do anything to take away my sins. They're already taken away.
Amen.
They're done. Having therefore, brethren, what? Boldness. Why? Because I'm something? Because I'm personally, I'm something? No. To enter into the holiest, how? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. He's now going all back, Joe, to that death.
That's it.
And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. We're not talking about being strong in your faith. Just believe the record God gave of his son.
Amen.
Believe what God says about himself, not what he... You don't even have to... No, I can't say it that way. It's not being... Well, do I really know how sinful I am? No, you don't, and I don't either. You know? Well, do I really know I'm one of God's? What do you want? God come down and give you a handshake? Pat you on the head? Say, good little boy or girl? God says, if you believe the record I gave of my son, you're mine. Now the question is, are you believing the record God gave his son, or are you believing somebody else's message?
There you go.
Therein is the difference. And let me tell you, that's where it begins, and that's where it's always pinpointed.
Yeah.
It's not how faithful you are to it. They ain't none of us as faithful to it as we ought to be.
Yeah, that's right.
There ain't none of us that believes it as strongly as we ought to. The fact is, do you believe it at all?
Amen.
Do you believe it? Do you believe God's done it all? And look, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest of the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What's an evil conscience? One that just constantly nags at you. I'm not talking about thinking bad thoughts. I'm talking about a conscience that constantly nags at you because of your sin. Say to your conscience, it's done.
That's right.
Christ is the propitiation. Christ has expiated. It's done. And look, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now notice it does not say hold fast to your profession of faith.
Exactly.
This is what countless thousands of people are doing. They're holding fast to their profession. They're not holding fast their profession.
Exactly.
It's not that I'm holding fast to what I've done. I'm simply holding fast to what he's done.
Amen.
There is a difference there. And I wish I had the the eloquence, the verbal ability to define that or say more about it that I know it says. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. It's not holding fast to your profession. It's holding fast your profession.
Yes.
Look, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? Good works. Well, let me tell you something. If you really believe this, you want to serve this God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And if you don't, I don't care how much you claim you're sincere, how much you mean it, how much you think you really got it, you don't got it.
That's it.
If you don't want this, it comes with it. Let us consider one another provoking unto love and good works. And where's the place to do that at? There is a place to say to do that. Not forsaking. Now, that's still the same sentence, Joe.
Yeah. It is.
Isn't it? Look, it's still the same sentence.
Yes, sir.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Because here's where we do it.
That's it.
This is where it's really done. This is what helps us to keep going when we go out there.
Yep. Yeah. That's it.
That's what it's for.
Sir.
This ain't just for some religious deed. These are things we do because we love the God of heaven and earth.
Yes, sir.
That's why you're here. Not forsaking yourselves. Now, let me just stop this call. It's 12 o'clock now. I gave you an illustration of this. That is a conscience. Or an illustration of this last week. No more conscience of sins. I'll give you two now this morning. I'll remind you of the first one. Go back to Romans 7. Now here's a man who has no conscience of sins. Romans chapter 7 and verse 17. And this is based upon, remember, justice satisfied, not personal character. Because if you look at what this man here in Romans 7 talks about his own personal character, look at where he's at, Mason.
Yeah.
What I love, I can't do it. What I hate, that's what I end up doing.
Yeah.
But see, that wasn't always true.
Exactly.
That wasn't always the way it was. But I don't have time to go into that. But look, here is a statement of no more conscience of sins. Verse 17, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, let me tell you something. Is that a personal reality? Whenever sin comes out of me, is it like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it? No. The Apostle Paul here is talking about having a legal right to distinguish between myself and my sins.
That's right.
Because my sins legally have been put away by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He admits here that he does things he shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Now doesn't he? And he admits he doesn't do what he ought to do on far too many occasions. That's the whole context here.
Yes, sir.
But he has this right to say, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And based upon what right? He's already said it. Now turn back to this foundation. Now Romans chapter 6, and look at this word, this one verse. Let me find it. And you look at the context. You look at this context. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin.
Amen.
Now notice, and you better be glad, and I better be glad it says reckon it to be so.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what that word reckon means, don't you? Count it to be so. Just consider it so, even though in your experience it ain't.
Exactly.
Amen.
Nevertheless, reckon it to be so.
Amen.
That's the word, right? I didn't make that word up. Well, you're antinomian. Call me what you will. This is what this says. Reckon yourselves.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, because that's so, let not sin reign in your mortal body.
Amen.
It doesn't say don't let it exist, because it does exist.
Exactly.
Just don't let it reign. But you can't do that without first, what? Reckoning it to be. In other words, I have the legal right to say it's gone.
Yeah.
It's done. It's there. I'm here. It's no longer I that do it,
yeah,
but sin that dwelleth in me. Now that seems to be an anomaly, Joe.
Yeah.
It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Right? It's an anomaly. But we know divine justice has been satisfied.
Amen.
Sin's been dealt with.
Yes, sir.
I believe God. And that's where it's got to stay.
Yep.
You can't ever rise above that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, in your Christian life, in your living, in your service to God, don't ever try to rise above that because you can't. God doesn't command you to rise above that. Right there is what, likewise, reckon. Reckon it to be so. That's it.
Amen.
And there's where the conscience will be perfected.
Exactly.
And right there only. Because, Mason, when I quit reckoning, even if it be for a short period of time, I'm going to have a conscience of sins.
Yeah.
I'm going to be plagued by guilt. Yeah. I'm going to be brought down by guilt. But if I say Christ has taken care of it, I believe God. It's not just then it's done. No, I believe that it is done.
Amen.
It's done. Father, may these things be taught to us in our hearts and minds. And Lord, may you by your grace enable us to do that by your grace. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, go ahead and turn that off.